Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to The Lord's Prayer, It's Yours, by Brian Fowler, Jacob Suter, and Matt Mayer. In this rendition of The Lord's Prayer, contemporary language updates the familiar words with a memorable melody. An added chorus focuses on a far simpler text that emphasizes that everything belongs to our Father. This kingdom is His.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart.
Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? "Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. In our text today, Jesus is asked a question about taxes, everyone's favorite topic. But his answer gives us the beginnings of a framework not only for how Christians relate to the IRS, but for how Christians relate to the state as a whole. Now, according to just about every metric available, our society has never been more divided by politics. We are less likely than ever before to have friends who vote differently from us, and more likely to choose where we live based on how our neighbors vote. There's a survey in the 1950s in which American parents were asked how they would feel if their child were to marry someone from another political party. Fewer than 10% indicated that it would be a problem for them. In 2016, that number sextupled to over 60%. And this isn't surprising given the reports that party-based antipathy more than doubled among both Democrats and Republicans between 1994 and 2014. According to one cultural commentator, politics is well on its way to becoming the most entrenched and impermeable social divide in America, surpassing religion, income bracket, and race. While the degree to which we are doing this here and now is somewhat new, the reality is that humans have done this with politics, finding their identity in it and giving it an allegiance that should be reserved to God alone from the very beginning. And we see that here in our text. Here we encounter two groups of people who are adamantly opposed to each other, the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees tended to be a nationalistic group, wanting to establish the nation of Israel to its former glory, a Jewish nation faithful to the letter of the Mosaic Law. They wanted to rid themselves of what they viewed to be foreign oppressors, the Romans and their empire. The Herodians, on the other hand, were in favor of Roman rule. They were clients of Herod, who was a Roman vassal. They benefited from their connection to Rome and wanted Rome to stay. Needless to say, the Pharisees and the Herodians didn't get along. They didn't like each other. In fact, they hated each other. But there was one thing they could agree on. Jesus was a problem. Jesus was a threat to the political ideologies of both groups. And so these opposite parties could come together in their mutual suspicion and hatred of Jesus. And why did they respond to Jesus in this way? Because politics had become an idol for them. So they seek to trap Jesus, thinking that they can trick him with a question. And what is the question? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If he answered with a simple yes, Jesus would have been branded a traitor and collaborationist, and many would have abandoned him in disgust. If he answered no, on the other hand, the Romans would see him as an insurrectionist. Rome actually tolerated some religious diversity, but there was no tolerance for a refusal to pay taxes. If Jesus said no, he would be a dead man. So his antagonists eagerly awaited his response, the Pharisees hoping for a yes that they could herald to the nation, and the Herodians equally eager for a no that they could bring to the Romans. And how does Jesus respond? Well, first, Jesus diffuses their loaded question by calling it what it is, a trap. And then he uses a coin, a denarius, to make his point. He asks whose likeness and inscription are on the coin for the tax. The answer is Caesar's. So then who gets the coin? Caesar. Give him back what is his. But the language of image or likeness harkens back to Genesis 1:27, where we are told that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So the principle here is this. Our currency bears the image of our rulers, but we bear the image of God. The state gets the money it's due, but God and God alone gets us. He gets our hope, our trust, our faith, and our ultimate allegiance. We are to work for the peace of the city, as we're told in Jeremiah, but as dual citizens, recognizing Paul's words in Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So consider, where are you putting your hope and trust? Are you rendering to Caesar some things that belong to God? Well, in the moments that follow, pray that the Spirit would enable you to see things in proper perspective. Let's close now with this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.